Harper Audio presents Simply Jesus, a new vision of who he was, what he did, and why he matters, by N.T. Wright, read by James Langton. Chapter 1. A Very Odd Sort of King. As Jesus was going along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. When he came to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to celebrate and praise God at the tops of their voices. Luke 19:36-37. The crowd went wild as he got nearer. This was the moment they'd been waiting for. All the old songs came flooding back, and they were singing, chanting, cheering, and laughing. At last, their dreams were going to come true. But in the middle of it all, their leader wasn't singing. When he came near and saw the city, he wept over it. Verse 41. Yes, their dreams were indeed coming true, but not in the way they had imagined. He was not the king they expected. He wasn't like the monarchs of old who sat on their jeweled and ivory thrones, dispensing their justice and wisdom. Nor was he the great warrior king some had wanted. He didn't raise an army and ride into battle at its head. He was riding on a donkey, and he was weeping, weeping for the dream that had to die, weeping for the sword that would pierce his supporters to the soul, weeping for the kingdom that wasn't coming, as well as for the kingdom that was. Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem a few days before his death is one of the best-known scenes in the Gospels. But what was it all about? What did Jesus think he was doing? I have a clear, sharp memory of the moment when that question first impinged on my consciousness. It was the autumn of 1971. It was a month or so after our wedding, and I had just begun my training for ordination. New worlds were opening in front of me. But I hadn't expected this one. A friend lent me the album Jesus Christ Superstar. I had known about Jesus all my life. Indeed, I venture to say that I had known Jesus all my life. Better still, perhaps, to say that he had known me. He was a presence, a surrounding love, whispering gently in Scripture, singing at the top of his voice in the beauty of creation, majestic in the mountains and the sea. I had done my best to follow him, to get to know him, to find out what he wanted me to do. He wasn't an undemanding friend. He was always a disturbing, challenging presence, warning against false trails and grieving when I went that way anyway. But he was also a sigh of relief, healing presence. Like Bunyan's hero, I knew what it was to see burdens roll away. I had been many times around the cycle we find in the Gospels in the character of Peter. Firm public declarations of undying loyalty, followed by miserable failure, followed by astonishing, generous, forgiving love. But as my bride and I moved into our basement apartment, I listened to Superstar. Andrew Lloyd Webber was then still a brash young pup, not a peer of the realm, and Tim Rice was still writing lyrics with real force and depth. Some were worried about Superstar. Wasn't it cynical? Didn't it raise all kinds of doubts? I didn't hear it that way. I heard the questions, "Who are you? What have you sacrificed? Do you think you're what they say you are?" These were the proper next questions, the other side of the story I had learned, or at least another side of the story. It was as though all the energy of the popular culture of the 1960s had suddenly swung around, away from its preoccupation with sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and was looking again at the Jesus it had almost forgotten.